Hello and welcome. Thank you so much for joining us today. Kathy and I want to wish you and yours a very blessed Resurrection Sunday. I know that this is one Easter that we will not soon forget, but it is Resurrection Sunday nevertheless, and nothing is going to stop us from rejoicing in the victory of the cross and the triumph of Jesus over sin, hell, and the grave. Now, if we were together this morning, I would declare to you that Christ is risen. And even though I can't hear you, I want you to declare your response to me. He is risen indeed. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Aren't you so glad today that we serve a risen Savior? This morning, my message is entitled, The Big If of Easter. And my text is not coming from one of the Gospels, but rather it is coming from the epistle of Paul to the Colossians, chapter 3 and verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, if then you have been raised with Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for raising Jesus from the dead. And we pray this morning that you might take the truth of that reality and apply it to our hearts. Make the resurrection of Jesus Christ more real to us today than it has ever been before. And it's in the powerful, victorious, and glorious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. In the text that we've read, the Apostle Paul references the resurrection and then confronts the Colossian Christians with a statement that begins with an if. And when I read that word if, in my mind, it raises a question, and it's a question that requires an answer. And we're going to address that shortly, but first, I believe it's really critically important that we review why we believe in the resurrection of Christ. Number one, because of its historical veracity, the resurrection of Jesus is an undisputed fact of history. This event was recorded even by secular historians. And if there were newspapers in the day of Jesus, it would have been on the front pages of the Jerusalem Gazette that the prophet Jesus was raised from the dead. Professor Thomas Arnold of Rugby, who was a world-renowned educator from the 18th century, said this: Christ's resurrection from the dead is the best attested fact in all of human history. And of course, the foundation for our belief in the resurrection begins in the scripture. Luke wrote in the first chapter of Acts that Jesus presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days. That phrase, infallible proofs, is a technical term. It's taken from logic, and it refers to that which causes something to be known in a convincing and decisive manner. There's undeniable proof. People can say all that they want. The resurrection of Jesus is merely a myth. But I'm afraid we're going to have to let them know that the evidence proves otherwise. The Word of God records 10 instances where Jesus was seen by his disciples after his resurrection. And there was even one occasion in which it's recorded that he appeared to over 500 disciples. And you know, these appearances were not just for a flashing second, so that the naysayers would be able to say, oh, they were only hallucinating, and they just thought that they saw Jesus, suggesting that somehow they were seeing an apparition. No. These were occasions where Jesus engaged with his disciples. He walked with them. He talked with them. He ate with them. I want to declare to you today that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not fake news. The second reason why we must believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ is because his resurrection is the very validation of his life. Think about it this morning. As much as we love Christmas and the coming of Christ, as wonderful as the thought of that was, that the Son of God became the Son of Man and he lived on this earth, and that while he lived here, he did many wonderful miracles. He taught such great truths from the heart of God. He lived such a beautiful example of a God-centered life. He lived so selflessly for the glory of God and for the good of others. But do you know, all of that would be meaningless if there had been no resurrection. Jesus was born. He lived, he died, but thanks be unto God, that was not the end of the story. Because Jesus rose from the grave, he conquered sin, hell, and death. His resurrection validated that he truly was and is the Son of God. And as such, we believe in the resurrection this morning because it is then the very foundation of our faith. The resurrection of Christ occupies a central place in the New Testament. Did you know it is mentioned directly 100 times? The resurrection was central to the teaching and the preaching of the apostles. It was the focus of every sermon that we read that was preached in the book of Acts. Listen to the message that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. This Jesus you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men, but God raised him back to life, for death could not keep him in its grip. And according to the Apostle Paul, the resurrection of Jesus is one of the four pillars of the very gospel message. And he wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ, number one, died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that number two, he was buried, and that number three, he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures." And we often miss number four, and that he appeared to Peter and the 12. After that, he continues with the litany of the many appearances of Christ. So these are the four pillars of the gospel. Christ died. Christ was buried. Christ was raised. And then Christ demonstrated and proved his resurrection by appearing to many for 40 days as he walked on the earth after he came out of the grave. Without the resurrection, there is no gospel message. And I'm so thankful for what the Apostle Paul penned in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, because it underscores the value and the importance of the resurrection to Christianity and to our personal experiences today. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says, that if Christ did not rise from the dead, then the following five things: faith is a hoax, because this Jesus, who is the very object of our faith, is not who he said he was, because he promised that he would rise from the dead. Number two, we find in verse 15, if Christ was not raised from the dead, then the apostles are liars. And what does Paul say? And we apostles would all be lying about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. And how important is the teaching of the apostles to our faith? According to Ephesians 2 and verse 20, together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Our very faith is built on what they taught us. And of course, Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone himself, but everything that he poured into them, they poured into us through the epistles, which become the foundation of how we are to live our lives. But if Christ was not raised from the dead, then the apostles would be liars. Number three, we find in verse 17, and if Christ has not been raised, you are still guilty of your sins. Think about that this morning. If there was no resurrection, there is no forgiveness for sins. But the Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 4, he was sentenced to death because of our sins and raised to life to justify us. Why was Jesus raised from the dead? So that he could declare that you and I are righteous. So that he could declare that I've forgiven them of their sins. So that he could declare I've imputed my righteousness to them. And now today, as sons and daughters of God, we can know that we have his approval because he sees us as the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. Number four, we find in verse 18, in that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. If there is no resurrection, there is no hope for those believers who have died. You know, our hope of resurrection is based on his resurrection. Paul declares that Jesus is the first fruits, and by his resurrection, there's a guarantee that we too shall rise. And finally, number five, in verse 18, and if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. That's quite a statement, isn't it? Christians are to be pitied if their hope is only in this life. And you know, we go through life and we talk about how wonderful it is to have Jesus in our hearts and how he helps us through our trials and tribulations, how he helps us through the sorrows and the heartaches of life. But we have such a glorious hope even beyond this life, because without the resurrection, we have no hope for the future. And while it's great to say we believe in Jesus, while we're on this earth, what happens after we die? Is the grave the end? Certainly not, because his resurrection gives us hope beyond the grave of a glorious eternity, which we shall enjoy with him forever and ever. And now I get to what I really want to share with you this morning, and I'm going to say it briefly. Don't get nervous that I'm going to all of a sudden get to be a long-winded preacher here. But all that I've shared with you, as wonderful as it is as doctrine, it means absolutely nothing and has no impact in our life whatsoever unless it translates beyond doctrine and moves beyond historical fact, and it becomes our very own personal experience. And that's why the Apostle Paul asked this question. If you have been raised with Christ, do you know what the Apostle Paul is saying? That the very resurrection that Jesus experienced is the resurrection that you and I are to experience. You know, the Bible teaches us that when we accept Christ, we identify with Him in His death, in His burial, as well as in His resurrection. Paul, in his epistle to the Romans in chapter 6, tells us, "Don't you know that all who share in Christ Jesus by being baptized also share in His death? When we were baptized, we died and were buried with Christ. And if we shared in Jesus' death by being baptized, we also share in His resurrection." You know, this verse describes in very clear terms the theology of our conversion experience. And it's an experience that God wanted to so imprint upon us that He established water baptism as one of the church's ordinances. And the scripture declares that when we accept Jesus as our Savior, the very next thing we are to do is to repent and then to be baptized. Because baptism graphically portrays what actually takes place when we accept Jesus as our Savior. When we follow the Lord in the waters of baptism, we're renouncing our old life. We go down into the water, and this then becomes a symbolic representation of being buried. Of course, we're being buried in a watery grave. But when we come up out of that water, it symbolizes our resurrection, which is the beginning of a new walk, a new lifestyle, even as Jesus did. When He came up out of the grave, He lived a very different kind of life, did He not? And in Colossians 1:3 and verse 1, where the Apostle Paul says, "If you have been raised with Christ, then as sharers in His resurrection," the question that I believe the Apostle Paul is asking, are you living now a new kind of life even as Jesus lived? So the critical question that we all need to ask ourselves today is, have we been raised with Christ? Have we shared with Him in His resurrection? The application of that is, of course, first in being raised out of the death into which we were all born. Now, I know you thought that when we came forth from our mother's womb, we were born to life. But the Bible teaches us that the truth is we were born into death. David said, "Surely I was brought forth in iniquity, and I was sinful when my mother conceived me." And do you know what that means? That means we were all born with a death sentence. Because the Bible says, the soul that sins, it shall surely die. And I want you to know this morning, just because you attend church does not mean you're alive unto God. Just because your parents are godly people who are wonderful Christians does not mean you are alive unto God. Life is only found in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and in identifying with Him in His resurrection. If you then have been raised with Christ, and if you have been, then you're going to start reflecting the kind of life that Jesus lived. Think about how different His life was after He arose from the dead. It was radically different. As the resurrected Christ, and while on this earth for 40 days, He was clearly living in a totally different way of life. For example, He could instantly be in one place and then vanish. There were no physical barriers to hinder Him in any way. He could appear in a room suddenly without needing anyone to open a door. And this, my friend, becomes a picture for us of how radically transformed our lives are to become after we come to know Jesus, after we identify with him in his resurrection, out of our death state, now to walk in newness of life. And I wonder if we've not had that experience, then maybe, just maybe, it's because we've never died. We've not been willing, like Jesus, to lay it all down, to lay down our rights, our wishes, our will, and yes, our very life, so that he could live his life through us. Do we realize this morning that there can be no resurrection if there's not been first a death? Jesus was obedient, the scripture tells us, to his Father, even to the death of the cross. And because he was, God raised him up. And now he has a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee bows and every tongue confesses. God has highly exalted his Son. God raised him up and seated him in the heavenly places at the very right hand of his throne in heaven. And the scripture tells us that God wants to do the very same for us. And once he raises us up out of our death state into which we were born, as we continue to walk with him, as we continue to live in him and allow his life to live in us, he wants to raise us up higher and higher. And I believe that's why the Apostle Paul prayed, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. Now listen to what he says. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death. Do you know what the Apostle Paul is saying? You're saying, Pastor, that is such a contradiction. But I notice that he is giving us the secret to how we are to be raised, how we are to experience the power of his resurrection. Paul understood it can only be experienced as he's first willing to share in Christ's sufferings and then to share in his death. How true is the old axiom? Because it's really based on the word of God that the way up is down. All of us are always focused on going up, but we must first be willing to go down, down in humility, down in repentance, down in contrition, down in renunciation of those things that displease and dishonor the Lord. And today, if we've been truly raised up with Christ, then we are going to seek those things that are above. Not the things of this life, not the things of this world, but the things that God loves. Disowning those things that God hates. Where are your affections? Where are my affections today? Our ambitions, our goals, our dreams, are they set on Christ? On the things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God? Or are they on the things of the earth? And that is the big if of the resurrection today. How will you answer it? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that your word tells us that if we are in Christ, we have been raised up to walk in newness of life. And we pray that the revelation of that truth would come home to our hearts in such a way that it would challenge us in the practical ramifications of life as to how we walk and how we talk and how we think and what we want and the desires that we have and the thoughts that we think, Father, that we would set our affections on things above because we have been raised with Christ. And I pray today, if there are those that may be in the hearing of my voice today, that Lord, if they've never been raised up with you, if they are still dead in their sins and their trespasses, that they would place their faith in Jesus Christ. For you said in your word that whosoever believes in his heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, that they shall be saved. We give you thanks and we give you praise today because you are the risen Lord and you live to make yourself known and real to each and every one of us. So cause us to live in the power of your resurrection as we are also willing to share in the fellowship of your sufferings, that we might know you and live always and only for your great honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Kathy and I want to wish you the blessings of the power of his resurrection. Amen. God bless you.